All right, open up your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Gives you a pretty cool picture of what it's like in the world, and actually what we're talking about tonight. Satan hates you. That's really what it comes down to. And God loves you and has a much better plan for you. And we're going to look at, briefly tonight, we're going to look at a church in Revelation in the city of Thyatira that was living partway for the world and partway for the Lord. And God wasn't cool with that. They were mixing sin. They had allowed something into their church that shouldn't have ever been there. And because of it, it began to take over. And they are known as the corrupt church. And we're gonna look at that tonight at the end of the service. We're gonna have a chance to close in worship, just spend some time on our knees with our hands in the air or whatever, just telling God how much we are thankful that He's chosen us and that He loves us. I don't know about you guys though, but not every day is a great day, you know? And I don't know if you guys just always have awesome days. I don't always have an awesome day. Kind of a rough day for me today. I was just tired and just, you know how you have those days that things just aren't going your way? You know what I'm talking about? Like you wake up and you just start by stubbing your toe or something, you know? It's just not a good way to start your day, right? Well, I read this poem. My sister Kara, if you guys may know her, she lives in Brazil. She's a missionary down there, and she's sick, and she posted this poem called Sick, and I'm going to read it to you guys, and maybe you guys cannot relate to this girl in the poem, okay? Check this out. Again, it's called Sick. "I cannot go to school today," said little Peggy Ann McKay. "I have the measles and the mumps, a gash, a rash, and purple bumps. My mouth is wet, my throat is dry, I'm going blind in my right eye. My tonsils are as big as rocks, I've counted 16 chicken pox. And there's one more, that's 17, and don't you think my face looks green? My leg is cut, my eyes are blue, it might be instamatic flu. I cough and sneeze and gasp and choke, I'm sure that my left leg is broke. My hip hurts when I move my chin, my belly button's caving in. My back is wrenched, my ankle's sprained, my appendix pains each time it rains. My nose is cold, my toes are numb, I have a sliver in my thumb. My neck is stiff, my spine is weak, I hardly whisper when I speak. My tongue is filling up my mouth, I think my hair is falling out. My elbow's bent, my spine ain't straight, my temperature is 108. My brain is shrunk, I cannot hear, there's a hole inside my ear. I have a hangnail and my heart is, what? What's that? What's that you say? You say today is Saturday? Goodbye, I'm out to play." You guys ever felt that way? You wake up in the morning, you're like, there's everything in the world wrong with me, I'm not going to school. And then, have you guys ever done that and realized it's Saturday? And it miraculously got healed? Isn't that amazing how that works, right? Well, I was thinking about this story just because sometimes we just wake up and we're not feeling good, right? And germs have this weird impact on our bodies. When we allow them in our bodies and we don't do anything about them quickly, they can take over. In fact, I read a few statistics today. One said that every year there are about an estimated 60 million days of school that people miss just because they get the cold. 60 million days a year that people miss going to school. 50 million that people don't go to work just because of the cold. Can you believe that? That's a lot of people missing work and school. I also read, now this might gross you out a little bit, I also read that your average dishcloth in your kitchen can have close to 4 billion different kinds of germs on it. Nice, huh? No wonder your mom tells you not to wash your face with it, right? Like, ah, come on, mom. Now you got like a zoo on your face, right? I also read this one. Now, this one was my favorite and the grossest at the same time. Because I'm a guy, I guess I like that. Okay, check this out. You ready? It turns out that the average picnic table has more germs than a porta potty. How is that possible? I don't do the research. All I know is I used to always think Courtney was so weird for eating in the porta potty, but now it makes sense, you know? It's a lot cleaner. So it just makes sense. We'll be out in the park and I'll be like, Courtney, dude, where are you going? We're going to go eat lunch over here. It's like, dude, it's way cleaner in the porta potty. So he just hangs, props the door open. It's all good, right? Well, you know, no, he doesn't really. You guys are like, sick. I don't even want to shake his hand anymore. That's right. I guess I couldn't blame you if that were the case. Well, like germs, sin can very easily creep into our lives. And it can be dangerous. And also, like germs, sin can be extremely dangerous if we don't deal with it quickly and thoroughly. We all have to do that. We all have to take very drastic steps. And tonight, we're asking this question. When seduction calls, how will you answer? Now, maybe you guys aren't used to that word seduction. It's a word that Jesus uses in Revelation chapter 2. Let's go ahead and turn there if you haven't already, and let's look in verses 19 through 21. Revelation 2, starting in verse 19. This is just a few brief verses of this letter that Jesus sends to this church in Thyatira. He says this, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach, and here's the word, and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Now we could continue on. Jesus addressing this church tells what will happen if they don't repent of their sin. He also gives some promises to those who remain faithful. But the topic tonight is seduction and how sin can very quickly creep into our lives and basically in effect infect our lives if we don't deal with it quickly and thoroughly. And anytime the word seduction or the topic is talked about in the Bible, it's never good. It's always talking about someone being led astray, someone being deceitful. Oftentimes it's the result of lust. Oftentimes it leads to rape or whatever it might be. Oftentimes it's of a sexual nature, not always. Sometimes it's just talking about going away from the truth. But it's never, ever a good thing. And that's what Jesus is talking about going on in this church. There are people in the church that are following this woman that Jesus points out named Jezebel. Okay? Now, a lot of people don't agree on whether or not this was her real name. Some people think that this is a person in the church that Jesus is simply referring to, the woman you may remember in the Old Testament named Jezebel, who was an evil, evil, jealous, full of murder and hate. This woman was terrible. And a lot of people say, you know, this woman's name in the church wasn't really Jezebel. Whatever it was, this woman in the church at Thyatira was leading people. She was leading people astray. She was seducing them to follow her. Now, it says that she was teaching them and seducing them. What that tells me is that there were probably people in the church that she approached and tried to tell her false belief to, and they didn't listen to her. They're like, no, that sounds crazy. I don't want anything to do with that. But she was tricky enough to not just stop when they wouldn't listen to her words or her teachings, but then she went on to seduce them. Now, that might mean in a sexual way, but it could also mean just in any kind of manipulative way to lead them away from the truth, leading them astray. That's what she was doing, and Jesus points her out. Jesus is not too stoked that this woman is in the church and nobody's doing anything about her. She's causing corruption in the church, and she's seducing God's people. Well, earlier in the New Testament, I want you guys to turn to Matthew chapter 18. You don't have to keep your finger in Revelation. We'll close with Matthew 18 here in a few minutes. But Matthew 18, Jesus talks about this topic of leading people astray, or how sometimes in our lives, we can cause people to go away from the truth. Matthew chapter 18 is where I want you to turn. We'll get there in just a moment. But Jesus talks about this, and he talks about it pretty severely. It's obviously a pretty big deal to Jesus whether or not this is happening. And I want you guys to pay attention to this. Matthew chapter 18, let's start with two verses, verses 6 and 7. Okay, Matthew 18, 6 and 7. He says this, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offense comes." Okay, so he uses a word a couple times, that word offenses. Basically, it can literally mean the stick or the trigger for a trap. Okay, and in my mind, I immediately get the picture. Have you guys ever made like a mouse trap where it's like a shoebox propped up with a stick with cheese on it? You guys know what I'm talking about? I did this one time because when I was real young, I used to own mice. Okay, and so I was like this mouse owner, and I thought they were so cool. Well, apparently, one was like a wild mouse was in our house somewhere, and I couldn't even get in my mind why my parents would want to kill that mouse. Like, that is just the worst thing a human could ever do to another animal, in my opinion, at that time. Now, things have changed now, okay? Kill those little varmints. I don't care. But at that point, I was like, no. Okay, we'll get them out of the house, but we have to figure out a nicer way to do this, okay? So I remember I took a shoebox, and I did just that. I set it up on the counter where it's propped up, and I had this little stick that was holding the box up. And at the bottom of the stick, I rubber banded some cheese around it, okay? So I figured for sure the mouse is going to come up, nibble the cheese, and then the box is going to fall on it, and I would have another pet mouse, right? Well, it never worked that way. I never caught a mouse. It didn't work. It's probably good because I would have ended up with like hantavirus or something, you know. But the idea, this word that Jesus uses, offenses, is that same kind of idea. Stop. Thank you. Same kind of idea. It's a trap, and it's to lead people astray. It's something that gets your attention. Something that gets your attention, and what it begins to do is lure you in. And so that little mouse, in my mind, this is how it would have worked, saw the cheese, like, ooh, cheese, you know, like a mouse would think, approaches the stick holding up the box, and, you know, gets underneath the box and begins to nibble the cheese. Well, it knocks the stick out, box closes, bada bing, bada boom, I own a mouse, right? Well, not exactly, but the idea that Jesus is talking about here is something that's used to entice someone into a trap. That's the idea. And he talks very, very forcefully against somebody who would manipulate in order to trap someone and lead them astray. He uses this word offense, okay? Now, he spoke very strongly against that. In fact, he said it would be better for them to have a millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the sea than to lead somebody astray. That's pretty intense. Those are some intense words for the Savior of the universe to say, don't you think? He's exaggerating here to emphasize his point. Now, if you don't know what a millstone is, basically what they would do in Bible times, they would have these two big stones, oftentimes like that big, and they would, two big stones on top of each other, and they would rub them together with corn in the middle to grind down the corn, okay? Or different types of grain or something like that. And it was called a millstone. So what he's saying is, it would be better for you to have this huge chunk of rock hung around your neck, and people, one, two, three, whee, into the sea. And you're like, I have a millstone, you know? And he said it would be better for you to have a millstone around your neck and drown in the sea than for you to lead someone astray. I need a volunteer real quick. How about Gabby? Come on up here, Gabby. Okay, Gabby, I'm just going to try a little experiment on you, if that's all right. Okay. You stand right there. I'm not going to fling anything at you, or it's okay. Now, I brought a millstone, and I'm going to just, it's kind of heavy. Now, I'm not going to put the whole weight on you unless you really want it, but I kind of want you guys to get the idea. Now, this isn't a real millstone, okay, but it's pretty heavy. You want to try to hold it?
Yeah, okay.
It's pretty heavy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think you can balance this on your neck? You want to give it a try? Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. Okay. Careful. Hold on.
Okay.
Whoa. Is that hurting?
A little bit.
Yeah, it's not very comfortable, is it? Can you imagine jumping into a pool with that?
No.
No, okay. Okay, there you go. Give Gabby a hand. Good job. You have a very... She's been working out her neck muscles, I can tell. Good job. Well, same idea. I mean, I can't even imagine. I put that on earlier and I was all, oh, this does not feel good at all, you know? Now just imagine a huge rock around your neck and getting thrown into the sea. Jesus said it's better for that person to just be gone than if they're going to lead somebody astray. You see what he's getting at here? If there's something that's causing problems, you got to get rid of it. It's better to get rid of that than for it to continue to cause problems. Now, I know what you guys are thinking. My little brother needs a millstone then. No, okay? That's not up to you to decide who gets a millstone and who doesn't, all right? Now, let's keep reading. Let's read some more of Jesus' words up here. Verse 8, Matthew 18. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Wow. Okay, so here we are. First, we're talking about a person leading people astray. Jesus says, put a huge rock around their neck and throw them in the ocean, all right? Get them out of there. Then he starts talking individually. And he says, if your right hand is causing you to stumble, chop it off. If your right eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. Jesus says, deal quickly and severely with this problem, okay? I need two more volunteers. One, two. Come on up here. Okay, face the audience. Okay, now, who wants to be volunteer number one? Tori, volunteer number one. Okay, now, what I brought here, if you want to actually maybe like, let's do this. Let's put your, can you just stretch your arm out like that? Yeah, perfect. Okay, now I have this, and I also, let's see, I have this, this is a meat cleaver, so, okay, you ready? You ready? No, I'm not really going to do that. I'm not that crazy. Okay, now, I am this crazy, though. Could you just open your eye just like this? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, you guys can grab a seat. I'm not really going to do that to you. Good job. You should have seen her face. She was all, oh my gosh. Like I was really going to chop off her arm. What would your mom say? No? Like, hey, people learned about Jesus. It's okay, you know? There's blood everywhere. I'm not going to do that. You get the idea, though? Do you get the idea? Jesus is pretty serious here, isn't he? He says if there's sin going on, it's better for you to get rid of whatever that thing is than to let it lead you astray from the truth. Get rid of it. Now, again, I am not promoting going home and chopping off any limbs or other parts of your body or anyone else's, okay? I'm not promoting that. You guys are like, Kevin said we could. No, I did not. Neither did Jesus, okay? Jesus is overemphasizing, over-exaggerating to get his point across. He's not really saying we should do this. Now, I did read about a prisoner who actually plucked out his eye, okay? Because it caused him to sin, And his girlfriend wouldn't take him back, so he literally, in prison, plucked out his eye. Don't be that stupid, okay? Jesus is simply getting a point across here. He's making it very clear that we have to deal swiftly and severely with our sin. So again, the question tonight, when seduction calls, how will you answer? I'm going to ask the leaders to come up and just stand right here, facing you guys. On the floor, right down here. And, okay. Give your leaders a hand real quick. Okay, now, I just want to find out, by a show of hands here, who has glitter on them? Does anybody else have glitter on them? Because I like had it on my shirt, and do you guys have glitter on you guys? Okay, let me tell you what happened. One of the leaders, I'm mixing glitter and litters. Okay, one of the leaders brought tonight a small bottle of glitter. And, you know, it was pretty innocent. It was like this big. It was kind of pretty looking and, you know, it was purple and cool, you know. I mean, who wouldn't want a little bottle of glitter? And so what they began to do was pass it out to a few people. They're like, hey, try some glitter. We're like, oh, yeah, sweet, glitter it up, you know. So we started just kind of spreading the glitter around. Just among us leaders, that's what we do when we're together. We just kind of, hey, how's it going? Take some glitter. We just have a good time. But we were, all your students were outside. We were in here. We were passing around the glitter. It was pretty fun. But before you knew it, we were giving some high fives, weren't we? We were patting you on the back. And you're like, what are you doing, you know? Were you guys wondering why Courtney said to have a high five party? Well, here we are. Here we are, and it started with one person, one little tiny, seemingly insignificant bottle of glitter. Before you knew it, it was spread to all the leaders. And before shake hands time was up, it was everywhere, right? It was on seats, it was on floors, I can see it on pillows, in people's hair, on their face. You're like, my hair? No, it's okay. Don't be so concerned. But do you guys see what's going on here? You guys have to catch this idea here, okay? Let me tell you what sin is like. Sin is a lot like that glitter. Because look, it starts really small. In fact, when you first see it, it looks really cool. You want to be a part of it. Sin never starts huge. It's not like one day you wake up and you're like, I should murder somebody. Man, who should I murder? You don't start that way. No murderer ever started that way. How did a murderer start? He started with a little bit of bitterness in his heart. That bitterness continued to grow and he got really angry. Eventually, maybe he began to retaliate against that person who he feels wronged him at some point. Before you know it, it's taken over his heart. Maybe it's in a moment of anger, a moment of passion, and he's not even thinking, and he goes to the place of murder. But it didn't start that way. It started small. And that's exactly how sin starts in all of our lives. All of us leaders, we're not up here because we're anything real special. We're just old enough that we can be leaders. And we're in a place in our lives where we believe that middle schoolers are some of the coolest people in the whole world. And what we want to do is help you guys avoid some of the very mistakes that led us astray. The last thing that we want to see as your leaders is for you to fall into some of the same things that we've fallen into. But guys, I got to tell you tonight that sin starts small and it looks fun. And it seems innocent because everybody's doing it. And they're all telling you at school, maybe even at home, how great it is, how fun it is. And let me tell you something, sin is fun while you're doing it, but it's not going to last and the consequences will catch up to you. So let me challenge you with this. When seduction calls, the question tonight, how will you answer? God has given us the power over sin, over temptation. The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that he has provided a way of escape from every temptation. There's nothing that you face that you cannot handle by the power of Jesus in you. And even though it's small, or maybe it's huge, God is bigger. So here's what the challenge is for you guys tonight. I'm going to invite the worship team up here. We're going to close in a few songs of worship. These leaders are going to go ahead and spread out around the room. You guys can spread out right now. And they are here and available for you to talk to. In fact, maybe one of you guys can grab the lights. And we want you guys to know that right now, as we close in a time of worship, it's all about you and Jesus. I don't want you guys to really even worry about anybody else around you, worry what they think or what they have to say or even what's going on later tonight. But I want you guys to just take a few minutes tonight as we close the service with a few songs to focus on the one who loved you enough to give up his life for you. His name's Jesus, and he took the death that you deserve to die. And even though sin was in every one of our lives, the Bible tells us that God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you know that the very people who nailed Jesus to the cross, Jesus was dying so that those people could go to heaven? He died for us all, even when we hated him. So tonight is your opportunity to get where you need to be with the Lord. Maybe like that story of the germs and that little girl. Or maybe just this idea you catch tonight that you've allowed something in your life. Maybe it's small, but if you don't deal with it quickly, it will take over. Tonight is the night to get right with the Lord. Maybe tonight there's somebody in this room that you've wronged and you need to seek forgiveness. I want you to be honest with that person tonight. And if you need to seek them out, and just say, hey, you know what? I really messed up. I need to ask for your forgiveness tonight. Tonight is a great time to do that. In fact, you know what Jesus says? He tells us that we can't genuinely worship him if we're holding something against someone else. Tonight, you might need to get with somebody else and right a wrong. Maybe tonight, you need to talk to a leader and confess some sin. Say, you know what? I've been struggling with this. I need some accountability in this area. Whatever it may be. Tonight is your night to do that. We're going to close in a few songs, and we want you guys to know we're here for you, not because we're anything special, but because all of these leaders stand around the room as evidence that God can save people full of sin and use us for incredible things. So as we close in these few songs of worship, I just please challenge you guys tonight. Lift your hands, clap your hands, get on your knees, do what you need to just get in your zone with the Lord. Don't worry about what other people have to say. Spend some time just focusing on him tonight. Leaders are available if you need us. And I can't think of a better way to end the night with you guys than just singing. So let's do that.
It's only fitting that we end with a song titled Surrendered.